Good morning to those of you online. Thanks for joining us today. Y'all, it is happening. Easter is next week. Who's excited for Easter? Okay, it was a little bit weak. I know you got a little bit more in you. Maybe you were caught off guard by the fact that Easter is next week. Who is excited for Easter? There we go. Which means that we are almost there, which means this is our last week of our Under Construction series where we've been actually, you know, building up the church while actually building the church. Doesn't this all look good? Like, last week we had to be like on the floor with like half of a floor done, but like y'all, a big shout out to you volunteers that came in. Like, volunteers help lay this floor so it's all nice where you get to be. Volunteers help build this stage, which some of y'all put me to shame because you're way better with a drill than I am. Here's looking at you. But like, y'all, this is an amazing thing that we get to do. We all get to partner together. We've been building these stuff. We are almost there. We got some cool layers that'll be out in the lobby next week. Some more things will be happening in here, so don't miss out on that. And it's been just a crazy week. I think in the middle of Monday, we were like laying these floors down. Like there's like six or eight of us going to town, like putting these in. And Corey, like the guy you just saw in the giving video, he was like, I would like to do something. I'd like to do something else. And so like we all heard some like weird country music come on in the lobby. And I think I heard a saw go once or twice. We walked up there an hour later. He's like, I cut all the wood for the stage. Okay, you wanted to do something. Good. Awesome. And then we got it obviously built from there. And it's just been an amazing time. There's more things happening. So if you're bored this week, we'll have some work for you to do. But with all this awesome, like, new stuff, good-looking stuff, and things that we're doing, we cannot forget why we chose to do all this. Don't miss the point. Turn in your Bible, if you've got it, to Luke chapter 19. We're going to pick up the action in verse 41. If you've got a paper Bible with you, that old-fashioned rustling of pages, Luke 19 is where we're going to be at. If you're online, we've got a nice little Bible tab off to the side for you. You can just click that and then move around over. Or you're, you know, new school and you've got a little phone Bible action. YouVersion app is amazing. But Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 41. As he being Jesus, so as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in from every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children. Within your walls you will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. That's a weird passage. First of all, it's Palm Sunday this week, you know, a week before Easter. That Sunday is called Palm Sunday. That's when this story happened originally. This is the original Palm Sunday story. And it's weird. So like what's going on when this happens is Jesus is kind of like riding on it, well, donkey, but you know, driving a nice car in modern terms. Like they're on their way into Jerusalem. There's a parade going on. There's a party going on. Things are exciting. Things are awesome. Things are happening. People are cheering. Everything is great. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Jesus bursts into tears. Weird. This is actually one of only two times in the Gospels where Jesus actually cries. The other one is in John chapter 11 when his buddy Lazarus died. And so that passes the man test, right? Like that old saying, men are only allowed to cry two times, at funerals and at Saving Private Ryan. Passes the man test. So his buddy died. He was at his funeral. He cried. Great. This one is neither of those. But he bursts into tears. Now, there's actually two different words for crying in the original language. The one where he cried when his buddy died is just like the generic word, like, he cried. This one is like ugly cry. Like, ladies, like when the mascara is running, like losing your mind, like you're not able to like babble out clear words. You're just like, I did my best. Like, ah! That kind of crying. So what happened? Like, Jesus just in a parade, things are going awesome. Everyone's like, woo, Jesus, bursts into tears. The reason is actually in the name of this Sunday. Like, we call it Palm Sunday. because originally what we learned from the other stories about this is that they were waving palm branches at Jesus on his way into town. Now, it's not just a convenient tree that happened to be around, though that is also the case, but it's actually a callback to a couple hundred years before. See, the Jewish people at this time were under a foreign oppressive empire. At this point, it's called Rome, but a couple hundred years earlier, they were under the Greeks. And what happened is these people called the Maccabees, they led a revolution, they killed a bunch of people, and then they gained their independence. And on their way back into town, as their revolutionary leaders were doing their victory triumph parade, the people waved palm branches at them. Essentially, by doing that to Jesus, they're like, hey man, another revolution on the rise? Let's do that. That's what causes Jesus to cry. And then he goes on this rant. He's like, guys, if you only knew what would bring peace, but you don't. If only you had actually gotten the point of the kingdom of God, everything he's been preaching for the last 19 chapters of Luke, they wouldn't have had to deal with all the kind of stuff that's about to happen and all the things that get mentioned here in this kind of crazy pronouncement actually happened about 30 years after this story. Because Rome ends up destroying Jerusalem again. But Jesus says, guys, if you had only gotten the point of why I came, that wouldn't have happened. Essentially, we can boil down this entire passage into Jesus bursts into tears because they missed the point. Now, it is very, very easy for us to look at other people and go, yeah, they clearly missed it. Jesus says things like, love your enemies. Like, that doesn't sound like revolutionary talk, at least not in, like, actual revolution where you're overthrowing a government kind of talk, right? And they missed the point. It was like, that one was pretty obvious. Like, right, how could they miss that? It's easy to point out other people's flaws, but also we miss the point, too. Like, last week, like, first of all, that sermon Corey preached last week on prayer, whoa. It's worth a clap. Like, there was actually a point where our staff ended up, because we usually have to kind of be in and out, like, solving, like, tech problems or something, but we actually all ended up sitting in the back like, whoa, this dude's saying some stuff, and it's real good. But one of the things he said that actually, like, really caught our attention was that sometimes we behave our way into situations where we need to pray our way out of. Right, like we do things or make a series of poor decisions and then we end up going to God in prayer like, hey, God, can you fix the big mistake I just made? Please, help. And that ends up being our prayer. And then we kind of like forget God. And then we do make some other poor decision and we're like, okay, God, now that we're over here, help. Lord, she's pregnant. What do I do? Or she's pregnant with another girl. I love my daughters. I love my wife. If we don't start getting some Y chromosomes up in this house, it's going to get old real quick. But I love them. But also, maybe it's like, hey, you know, Jesus has all these teachings about, like, forgiving people, going after that. And then we're like, I would rather not. And then we end up super bitter. And then, like, years down the road, because we haven't dealt with that stuff over there, we're like, man, why am I bitter all the time? Lord, fix this problem that I made. We cannot miss the point there. But also, sometimes we just miss the point because we're too tired. Like, we're just sleepy and we forget everything. I remember a couple of weeks ago, actually, I was in the Atlanta airport with my beautiful, beautiful wife. And it was like 5:30 in the morning. We're going through TSA, you know, a big cattle run where you just walk through. I'm always tempted to moo in those lines for some reason. But anyway, and so we're going through, you know, you show your ID to the person. You're like, hey, you look like a picture that I can't verify anyway. And then they go through and then they have you take off your shoes because they want you to look like a homeless person in the airport, right? And then, you know, put your stuff on the little scan thing, the little conveyor belt. And then you're about to go through the metal detector. And so me and my pregnant wife are about to go through the metal detector. And the lady looks at me and she's like, just walk around. Guys, I was in a hood, loose sweatpants, and I have a beard. Like, you don't know me. I'm the person you're looking out for. Mind you, they made my pregnant wife go through twice. But the lady was tired. It's 5:30 in the morning. She kind of had that like glazed over look, like this is the end of third shift and I need to go home. But sometimes we miss the point just because we're tired. Maybe instead of or on top of setting alarms to wake up in the morning, maybe we also got to set an alarm to remind ourselves to go to bed on time. Right? Because like all of us know, we just know, okay, I need X amount of sleep. Maybe you're like a 5-hour a night person and you're great. Maybe you're 7 hours. Maybe you need 10, whatever it is. But you kind of know how much sleep you need. But then you're like, I don't want to go to bed. And then in the morning, like that first half of the day, you're like, I need 11 more cups of coffee. And you're still not like there and functioning. But we can miss a ton in that tired space. So maybe we got to go to bed sooner. Maybe we missed the point because of that. But a big one, and this is a catch-all for a lot of things, but sometimes we miss the point because our expectations are different, so we miss Jesus because we were looking for something else. First of all, in this story, there were a lot of people waving palm branches at Jesus going, hey, man, like, we want you to deliver us because, like, Rome sucked to be ruled by. It was not a good experience. It was a very, very bad time. They taxed them ridiculously. They enforced a bunch of laws that were just mean, among other things. And they're like, hey, Jesus, Hosanna, save us from this. Please get rid of them. And he didn't. And so they're like, oh, he must not have been able to do it. We went from like a parade of thousands to after Jesus like dies, and even when he resurrects, down to like 150. Because they were expecting something else. What are our expectations of Jesus? I thought, maybe when we come to faith, it's like, I thought life would be easy because I followed Jesus. I thought that praying would make more sense. I thought I'd be less lonely sometimes, maybe. Well, maybe we expected Jesus to actually move and do something in our lives that was just different. I thought he would bring my friend to faith with me, but they're kind of not there. And so I keep praying for them, but then they're kind of like in and out. We're not sure. Like, we don't know what's going on with them. Maybe we're like, oh, man, I just wanted him to do something else and he didn't. Or maybe it's not an expectation thing. Maybe we want it on our terms, and so we almost bargain our way out of a blessing, right? Maybe we're like, okay, Jesus, I will do exactly what you want to do if you do what I want you to do. Maybe we bargain our way right out of a blessing because, okay, like Jesus says, you know, forgive people what they do. And so... we're like, Jesus, I will forgive them if they apologize. Pretty sure we've all been there. Jesus, I will tithe if you get me a better paying job. Lord, I will come to church when it is not at 9 a.m. in the morning. Lord, I will tell somebody else about you if you make it cooler. Lord, I will pray out loud for somebody else if you guarantee ahead of time in writing that you will actually do whatever I'm about to pray. There's a lot of faith involved in following Jesus. In order to make the shift, we've got to take our, if you would blank, then I'll follow you. We got to trade all of that for, Lord, even though I want blank, I'll follow you anyway. Even though I desperately want them to apologize for what they did, I'll forgive them anyway. There's that old saying, right? Forgiveness releases a prisoner. It's only after you forgive someone you realize the prisoner was you. Right? Because we get all bitter and then nasty and then we end up like bittering our way into a situation later on that we also need to pray our way out of. Right? So, forgive anyway, even though it's difficult. By the way, forgiveness and and like reconciliation are different words for a reason. Forgiveness and boundaries are different words. But forgive anyway. How often should I forgive, Lord? Well, a disciple asked Jesus that one time, and Jesus was like, I'm going to answer really weird. What's 70 times 7? I don't know. That many. Lord, even though I want a better paying job, I'll trust you anyway with a little bit you're asking me for. Lord, even though I'm incredibly busy and I'm tired and I don't want to, I will serve anyway. Lord, even though I'm scared, even though it's terrifying to look at someone else in the eye and go, do you go to church? I'll put my feelings aside and just invite them anyway, because someone else's miracle might be on the other side of that invitation. Lord, even though I don't know if I actually trust you all the way, I'm going to do it. I'm going to act like I do, so hopefully my emotions will get there. Lord, even though I don't actually like feel like singing because it's been a rough week, I will sing anyway so that my heart can get aligned with what you're doing. Lord, even though I expected something else, whatever you decided to do, I believe that it's the best, even if I can't see it. We need to make that shift from, I want you to do stuff and then I'll follow you. We need to go from there to, even though I want. Be honest about what you want. We all got stuff we want. That's normal. It's fine. But Lord, even though I want, I'll follow you anyway. That mentality keeps us from being these people that miss the point. That mentality of I will do what Jesus wants anyway keeps us from missing the point. Like the biggest thing that I can point out to you as far as like things that we need to make sure we're in check on, don't miss the point of why we did all these renovations. Okay? So if what happened, this is a nice stage. It's a good time. Yes, we'll paint the front eventually. But this is nice, and the floor is nice, and we moved some lights around. That's nice. But if on Easter Sunday, next Sunday, when everything is actually done, all that happens is someone goes, oh, that's nice. And that's it. We wasted all of our time and resources. If all we get is like, man, it is really cool to have the drums on this side of the stage. And then like, oh, yeah, the lights are cool. Like, the sound is better because everything's, like, aimed at the people. Everything is great. Oh, that's a really cool thing. But that's all that comes of it. We missed. Don't miss the point of this entire under construction series. Guys, it is all about Jesus. Everything, always, for all time, is all about him. First of all, there's a couple of things that go on there. First of all, Jesus, said, and it's all over the Bible, whatever you have, do the absolute best you can with it. Which means that if we have a building, we should do the absolute best that we can with it. That means, you know what? Let's actually put some TLC into the sanctuary. Let's put some TLC into the tech stuff to make sure that that works well. Let's actually put some TLC into the lobby so that it's, a good looking space so that people can, have a good time. They can connect out there. Because, first of all, Jesus says, if I can trust, this is a paraphrase, you can Google it later, but it's a paraphrase of something else Jesus said, but if I can trust you with a little bit, I can trust you with a lot. Yeah. Right now, what Jesus has trusted us with is this building and about 300 people. That's how big the church is, roughly online and in person. 300 people in a building, that's what we have. That's a little bit. So if Jesus can trust us with this little bit, our heart's desire is that the gospel can go out to many, many, many more. So we would need to do the best we can with what we have here so that we can be a part of the gospel going out even more and more. That's why we do these things. It's all about Jesus. It's all about, so like, let's say Easter, okay. Easter is one of the biggest like invite Sundays of the year. It's when everybody goes to church that normally doesn't. It's like, we're going to have a lot of people who have not been here before in this room next week. Maybe you're a first time guest this week. Welcome. Good to see you. Love you. Have a gift for you on your way out, but grab it on the way out so that no one else can see that you have the little bag that says, I'm a guest, right? But next week, we're going to have guests in the room. What we want is for them to be able to focus entirely on Jesus and the messenger, what's going on, not walking and going like, oh, there's a three-point line. That's why we put the floor down. It is all about Jesus. Which means, come next week, Ben, you can make your way back up because we're going to need to focus ourselves on Jesus and some worship. You know what I mean? We're going to need to lock in with that. But come next week, invite somebody else. Because again, like everything's going to be like all good looking and cool. Like we'll finish up all the other stuff that's going on. It's going to be great. Like we're going to have an amazing service celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, right? I don't know how awesome we think that we are, but also coming back from the dead, that is incredible. Only one person ever done that move and stayed alive. We're going to celebrate Jesus. But also, other people in your life are more likely to say yes to an invite on Christmas or Easter. One of those Sundays is next week. Easter, I don't care what you got to do. Maybe you got to walk up and be like, hey, you blurred on Sunday? I'll buy you lunch after. Come to Easter. Maybe you got to walk up and be like, hey, I know you've been like asking me to pray for you for stuff. Can I pray for you at the church? You want to come at 9 or 11? Maybe like you're super introverted and shy and you're like, ooh, I'm uncomfortable talking to people. Like, I'm still nervous. Lord, I'll follow you anyway, but I'm really scared of what they're going to think of me. Here's what you can do. It's a really fun method. So, you know, we're going to have packs of like Easter invite cards on your way out, right? What you can do, take that little paper clip off, run into the coffee shop, be like, hey, you're all invited to Easter. Make it rain. And get out of there, right? Whatever you got to do, invite someone else. Because someone took a chance on you to get you here and you get to have this experience. Someone else invited you to get you here now so you can have that experience. And someone at some point in your life, if you are a Christian, rolled the dice and said, I think that they need that same faith that I have. Make that same gamble that someone made on you on someone else. So right now, what we got to do before everything else, before the awesome like experience of Easter, before we go out and invite people like crazy and we make it rain or whatever we got to do to get their attention, to get them closer to Jesus, we need to spend some quality time with him. So we're going to spend some quality time worshiping Jesus. We're going to take extra time at the service. Like, I'm going short today on purpose so that we can focus longer on him. Before everything else, before we miss the point or potentially miss the point, we need to center ourselves on him. We need to be in tune with Jesus as much as we can. And the best way that I know how to do that is through worship. And so if you do me a favor, if you can stand if you're able, and let's pray to the Lord that we would not miss the point of what he's trying to do for all of us. God, thank you for today. Thank you for another moment to spend on this earth with you. God, help us to focus on you. God, we want a lot of things from other people, from you. We got a lot of expectations. We got a lot of wants. We got a lot of desires. We got a lot of stuff building up in us. But God, more than everything we want, we need you. God, help us not miss the point. Help us to lock in with you. Help us to know what you're doing. Help us to just have that feeling inside that says, I know what my Lord is up to. God, send revival in this place. God, send a miracle in this place. God, send something. Send whatever it is that you have in store for us. God, let us not be in the way of that. God, send something amazing. Send more of your presence, more of your spirit, more of who you are. Lord, we want nothing but you. We ask all this, we pray all this, and we worship in the name of Jesus. Amen.